Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, we're back with Rachel Shaming talking about cringe moments. So welcome back to part two on cringe moments. Rachel, welcome back.
Thank you, Amy. I'm all excited again to have part two with you.
Well, it's great. It's great to carry on this conversation. Unfortunately, we ran out of time last time, so I just want to kind of pick up where we left off, and we were talking about what you feel are the three top things in organizations that allow, you know, or systemic things or systemic failures, mm-hmm. so to speak, within organizations that allow fertile ground for these cringe moments to take place in abundance. Can you just reiterate those?
I certainly can. The first one that I've seen across all industries and, of course, academia is inconsistency, primarily in how people are held accountable and inconsistency in how policies are applied. And we talked a bit about how that can people begin to be carved out. For instance, if I'm a high producer or a key contributor, I may be carved out of being held accountable. The other, another key factor is very poor or no feedback to contributors in an organization, the propensity to avoid candid feedback, which then leads to slippage in standards of conduct. I would say those are the dominant ones. Mm.
Yeah, and we see this quite a bit, right? You know, and it's
we
it,
do.
It creates
yeah,
a lot of difficulty within organizations. It seems for something that is so critical, right, and can cause so many systemic problems. Why do you suppose we don't see a lot of resources about how to navigate and handle these cringe moments?
Well, I think, for one thing, it's uncomfortable. And we talked in our first segment about we want, as humans, we want certainty and we want comfort. And this mm-hmm. is not about either of those. So we tend to slide over and, well, maybe we should have some kind of teamwork workshop. Or let's send so-and-so to a communication workshop. And we don't get to the heart of what is underneath the creation of the essence of these dilemmas. I think sometimes cringe moments are mislabeled as conflict or perhaps a personality disagreement of some kind, when really at the heart of it is simply some type of situation that is creating discomfort with emotions and some risk. There's usually a big element of risk when we think of those cringe moments. You know, Amy, I was just thinking, you were asking me about the top three systemic things. There's one other one that I've seen that's fairly pervasive, and that is the conflict-avoidant leader. When you have a conflict-avoidant leader, they really avoid these kinds of subjects. They avoid dealing with it themselves. What then happens is you have that lack of accountability, inconsistency, poor decisions, poor feedback, and people begin to feel down in the organization, begin to feel invisible or apathetic, and they certainly are not comfortable stepping into something difficult themselves.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation. Of course, we see that so often, and what winds up happening are some of these situations wind up festering, and, you know, may start out as a small incident or, you know, just some sort of friction between people.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the conflict-avoidant leader who really doesn't take charge and have these cringe moment conversations to nip it in the bud, they fester into
yes.
something that gets wildly out of control sometimes, it seems. What's been
well,
your
I
experience
can give you
with
an
that?
Well, I have probably way too many for our blog talk today, but I can give you one that kind of summarizes what I see. Mm-hmm. I was in an organization where the COO was extremely conflict avoidant, did not give his direct report, a senior leader, feedback. The things unraveled and fell apart, and he was now tasked with letting her know things were not working out, and they were at a place to separate from the company. He did not handle it in a candid way. First of all, he had not given her any feedback about the performance slippages, the conduct slippages. In the meeting with her, we'll use me as an example, he said to her, Rachel said, you're not performing well. Rachel said, you're too stressed out. Rachel said, it's time for you to go. Well, you can imagine how this poor soul felt betrayed. She was disillusioned. She felt that her the person she had trusted, the Rachel person, had gone behind her back. It created such a disastrous situation. So the person who was blamed then had a massive cleanup with the departing employee to correct the perception. And then she entered into a cringe moment conversation with that COO about we need to have a conversation about what happened. And fortunately, she had the skills to enter into that type of conversation. This happens so frequently, Amy. It's alarming. But you and I talk about this, and we can see the impact for innocent people who are in an organization. They may not have had the experience that we have seen, so they may think, it's me. If I were a better person, if I had better skills, then I would be able to handle this. And the truth is, maybe they do need skill development, but they don't cause these situations.
Right, right. Yeah, it's unfortunate that we see so much of it. Yet when you're talking about this, Rachel, what seems to be at the core of all of this is, of course, what we, you know, what we call our blog here, which is Lead with Courage. And it sounds to me that this is really about an individual being able to tap into their own courage. What do you have to say about that?
I totally, 1,000% know it is about stepping into courage. And a piece of courage is being willing to be vulnerable, to take a look at myself in any situation. What are the clues that I may be at a place where I am needing to do something? There is a cringe moment. Usually we have some kind of physical sensation, like shortness of breath. Perhaps we're sweating. Perhaps we feel a pounding heart. What's going on with me emotionally? And then pausing. Get the gift of pausing so that you can think it through. And give yourself a little bit of time to move past that hurt and wounding and the desire to punish. And that's where the tools of how you can do the analysis of the cringe moment, learn the skills of scripting of how you want to go forward, and then learn how can I build up some reserve so that I feel better prepared. I feel more confident when these situations come up. And you and I say, face it, we know we all are going to have cringe moments. There's just no way to avoid it. If there's more than two people, you're probably going to have this. But it is comforting for me to know that over the years I have learned some skills. And it's comforting also to me to know that we at IntegraShip are able to make this tangible for people. Part of the challenge when people have these cringe moments is that confusion, that swirling around of emotion and fear and the risk involved. And if you can get your feet on the ground, pause, do the analysis, grab hold of the tools, the good news is you can learn the skills. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting what you just said. We, you know, one of the things that we have come to realize through our own research and in writing the book that's coming out about this next early 2016 is that people, when they get into these cringe moments, that, you know, the sweaty palms and all of that that goes on, what happens when our anxiousness goes up or our fear level goes up about these situations is that we are biologically wired, right, to have mm-hmm. our brains are wired to shut down the best part of our brain because
right.
we feel threatened, right? So we start
exactly.
to we start to lose the capacity of our executive brain, tap into that reptilian brain, right, that's all concerned with survival. And so we
right.
lose our ability to reason and think rationally in these situations. What, you know, we've all been there, right, Rachel? I'm sure you yourself still
probably
go through it,
before
right?
Before the day is over, we'll probably experience something like this. Sure.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But what do you recommend for people when they find themselves in that situation where they have that confusion, they can't think reasonably or rationally without a lot of emotion or
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of anxiety? What do you recommend?
Well, the first thing I recommend is the pause. If we think about the animal kingdom, based on what you've just said, and Amy, about how our brains work, animals, when they feel spooked or something frightens them, they either run, they freeze, or they come charging at the whatever the threat is. Mm-hmm. Human beings have those same capacities to react, but we have another one, and that is pausing to think through, can I work this through? And in that space, that's where we need the pause. Our propensity is to just react in the anger, freezing, or aggression. I mean, the passive or the avoidance, the anger, which is aggression, or freezing. And the gift to us as humans is that we can pause. Is it comfortable? No, it is not. But the learning comes when we can pause and just be in that discomfort while we analyze what's going on, what do I need to learn from this, what, if anything, do I need to do about this, and give ourselves some space. And that is a learned skill. Believe me, we're not born knowing that, when we really do have to learn how that is. There's another thing I think that helps us, and that is recognizing what are my hot buttons. If I know what is going to trigger my hot button or my reaction, that's where I need to do some self-mastery, some self-development work. Mm-hmm. Also, thinking about what are my needs? Do I just have this unreasonable desire to be liked? Do I have an excessive need to be acknowledged or valued? Or perhaps it's something like I panic when there's any kind of conflict. Those are situations where we really can learn some better ways of coping and gaining competence in those areas. So I think we have a lot of tools, but we may not know we have the tools.
Yeah, and I think you and I have seen enough over the years, right, in doing this work, to know that everybody, even the person you would suspect the least, has courage if they know
yeah.
how to find their way to it, right? And if they're able to
mm-hmm.
develop certain muscles, right, some of which you just mentioned, that
yes.
they can tap into their courage that maybe they didn't even know they had. But we've seen enough of it, right, to know that people
yes.
really do, when they get to a watershed point with these cringe moments, that they really do have the ability to reach down deep and find the courage to do it.
Yes. And, you know, just this past week, Amy, our IntegraShift group was talking about everyone has courage. They may have pushed it way, way down, but everyone has courage. And what supports courage is being willing to really know, what are my values? What do I cherish most? Perhaps it's honesty. Maybe it's fairness. Whatever my core values are, that will help my courage muscle start to flex its muscle, so to speak. And then there's that element of vulnerability. Am I willing to look at what's my responsibility or my role in this current situation? Combine those two, and you really do start to move into cringe moment conversations, feeling far more grounded and stable, I guess would be the word, rather than that awful confusion and anxiety and dread that something terrible is going to happen. Something really great might happen, too.
Yeah, we've seen our fair share of that, right?
Yes, well, and isn't it wonderful when you can see people gain the skills and they step into something difficult, these cringe moments, and then they come out the other side and their muscle is a little bit bigger in handling these things. And then they have another one and the muscle gets even bigger. Soon you have an atlas type person with all these cringe muscle building. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Rachel. Thanks for walking us through this. And of course, you know, you and I could talk all day about this, as it's a passion point for all of us at IntegraShip, really.
Yeah.
But we hope that we'll have plenty more coming for people about this. We don't hope. We know, right? In early 2016.
We do.
With a book about this. And so stay tuned, because we've got a lot more for you to learn around this topic. And the way I see it, Rachel, we've got a lot of work to do.
We have a lot of work to do. But what just really I just get so fired up about is it's possible. I didn't know this stuff either, Amy, when I was a much younger person. It is possible to learn the skills to be better. About perfection, no, it's not. I'm not going to be perfect, but I will be so much better at this when I learn a few tools.
Well, thanks for joining us today, and thank you
to pleasure.
Those of us listening to us. We appreciate your time and your awareness around this. We'd love to hear from you about any thoughts you might have about cringe moments. So be in touch and go over to our website or our Twitter feed and let us know what you think. Thanks for joining us.